Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. You can feel football, college, and pro seeping into our shows going forward live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. NBA season ended gloriously Tuesday. We talked about it all day yesterday. It was so fun. The draft. Free agencies around the corner. There's going to be some big moves. Today, we got a little bit of football. There's stuff going on, Joy, and I'm very excited about it.
Listen, I did not have Jerry Jones expressing remorse about Jimmy Johnson on my 2021 bingo card, but here we are.
So Jimmy Johnson has been somebody I've learned a lot of football from. So I've been working on Sundays for a long time at Fox. And one of the reasons I always love working on Sundays, because I would come in. Jimmy was the first one here. He got here before Bradshaw and Howie and everybody, and Jimmy would get here, and I'd find 15, 20 minutes and ask him 10 football questions. He was so connected, so smart. And I've talked to Jimmy a lot about Jerry Jones over the last 2 years, and he's always classy about it, but it was really simple, very simple, not complicated. The great coaches, Bill Parcells, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Belichick, do not like meddling. They're great at what they do. And Jerry Jones started meddling. And so Jerry yesterday did show remorse for screwing up, and it was Jerry Jones' fault. Absolutely, unequivocally, inarguably, it was Jerry Jones' fault. Jimmy left. They got Barry Switzer, who took the momentum for a year, won a Super Bowl. But in the end, Barry's not Jimmy. And here's Jerry Jones now acknowledging, yeah, I screwed it up.
I go back to what Barry Switzer said. Barry Switzer came in the office, and Jimmy had just left. And so Barry came down from Norman, Oklahoma to talk about getting the job. And he comes in, and he said, "Where's Jimmy?" I said, "Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach." I said, "What in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about?" He said, "I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up?"
Do you think you could answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I f***ed it up.
Well, it's not overly complicated. When Jerry Jones bought the team, he pushed all his chips into the table. He didn't have a lot of excess cash. And so, as Jimmy's told me multiple times, Jimmy was at one end of the building doing football, and Jerry was at the other doing business, and they were both crushing it. They were both crushing it. And then Jimmy started winning a lot of games and Super Bowls, and Jerry, at the other end of the business, now with the money flowing, thought, "I'm not getting enough attention. How come Jimmy's having all the fun doing football? I played college football, too." And then Jerry did what many owners in sports have done. He started meddling, and one of the greatest football coaches in American history, Jimmy Johnson, said, "I'm out of here." It's the same reason Parcells left multiple teams, including, remember, if I'm going to make the dinner, I want to buy the groceries. He said it in New England. That's why Bill Belichick didn't like the Garoppolo move by, you know, Bob Kraft. But in a bigger, more macro sense, the Texas Longhorns and the Cowboys are both in the news today, and they're the two biggest brands, respectively, NFL and college in the state. And the brand is way bigger than the success. In 25 years in the Big 12, Texas has 3 Big 12 titles. How the hell is that possible? And in 25 years, the Cowboys have 3 playoff wins. How is that possible? Because Texas is about ego. When I think of Vermont, I think of syrup in the fall. When I think about Colorado, I think about the mountains. When I think about California, I think about the beaches and tech. When I think about Texas, I think about ego. Even their slogans, don't mess with Texas. It's a whole other country, the Lone Star State. Everything's bigger in Texas. The state of Texas should dominate football in America, should absolutely dominate it. They have the stadiums, the resources, the passion. Why don't they? How does Nebraska have more national titles? How? How is that possible? Why can the state of Alabama, with Auburn and Alabama, have so many more national titles than a massive, well-capitalized state like Texas have so few? Because all football in Texas, except for TCU, underachieves. TCU doesn't. TCU works hard. Gary Patterson, egoless, focused. They take 2- and 3-star recruits. They develop them slowly and patiently. Everything else underachieves. The Cowboys underachieve. The Texans. Remember how embarrassing the Texans were years ago? They were going to play Monday Night Football against the Patriots, and they wore their Letterman's jackets. J.J. Watt, Letterman jacket. And then they were sadly beaten 42-14. It was an embarrassing display that I think I mocked for the better part of 2 years. Texas should dominate football in America. It is a massive state. Incredible camps, incredible high school football, incredible resources. And the Longhorns and the Cowboys have messed it up. Too much meddling from boosters, too much ego from owners. And football, nothing kills dynasties like ego. You know, basketball is a lot of isolation. I mean, Giannis essentially was the only guy scoring for Milwaukee in the last game. Baseball, pitcher against batter. But football, they've got a playbook. And if an offensive lineman even moves a hand, penalty! It is an egoless, team-oriented sport more than any in America, where 11 players have to play in absolute unity. If you flinch as a running back, lean forward, it's a penalty. The team is penalized. When I was in high school football, and I hated this, but if we at practice, if an offensive lineman jumped offside, our coach made the team run. I was always like, what about that guy? I didn't jump offsides. It's not the way football is. It's not the way football. My basketball practice was different. If a player screwed up, the player ran sprints. I didn't have to run for him. But my high school football coach, we all ran if the left guard jumped offside. And that is football. Hard Knocks, guess who's on it again this year? The Dallas Cowboys, for the third time. Yet there's 20 teams that have never been on it once. I wish the Cowboys were better. Be better for my show. I mean, if the Yankees win World Series, the Lakers win titles, the Dallas Cowboys win Super Bowls, my ratings go up. Like, I'm rooting for it. But again, this year, 9-8, 8-9. It's where they've been the last almost 3 decades. All right, now let's talk Texas Longhorns football. And I have said this before. When I was a kid growing up, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, that was college football to me, you know? So there's a story that Texas and Oklahoma are going to notify the Big 12, we are leaving at the end of our contract. Be very, very careful, Texas, what you hope for. I've always had a soft spot for Texas because years ago, I always liked their uniforms and their helmets and their brand, and I love Austin, Texas. Great city. But years ago, I went to a Texas-USC game, and it's the single greatest spectacle of any sporting event in the 30 years I've been a sportscaster. And I didn't want to sit in the press box. I sat in the stands right in the middle of the Longhorn section. And they were smart and good-looking people. And we sat there and witnessed an incredible sporting event. Reggie Bush, Vince Young. And they were classy. And the stadium, the Rose Bowl, was just awash in, you know, that rust orange Longhorn color and that, you know, that USC, you know, gold. It was an epic. I mean, it was a photographer's dream, and Roger Clemens is on the sideline, and Hollywood stars, and Matthew McConaughey, and it is the single greatest 3-hour event of my life. And I've always had a soft spot for Texas football, the Longhorns. I just always liked them. They're just, they to me, they're cool. They could go independent. They feel more Pac-12 to me. I mean, they're progressive. They're cool. They're techie. They feel Pac-12 to me. They don't feel like Starkville. They don't feel like Oxford. They don't feel like Gainesville. They feel kind of like L.A. with cowboy hats. The music, the progressive politics, it's super techie. In fact, San Francisco during COVID, the biggest exodus of any city in America was Californians moving to Austin, Texas. Californians like Austin, Texas. They eat well. They party well. It feels like an extension a little bit of the West. The SEC does not feel like the West. It's cutthroat. It's insular. The recruiting is a pit of cheating and paying off players. Sorry, that's the reality with the SEC. Ole Miss is just the one that got caught. I don't think Texas feels like the SEC. They are a regal glamour brand, a little like USC. I remember talking to a football coach at USC about 5-6 years ago. And he said, actually it was an administrator. And he said, we want our kids to enjoy this experience. USC is more than football. Look at the Olympics. It's filled with USC, UCLA athletes. We want our kids to experience college too, not just a weight room. They're not too concerned about that in the SEC. The SEC is a snake pit. It's intense. I don't think Texas fits it. I really don't. Be careful what you wish for. Texas doesn't feel Southern. They don't feel that intense. They feel kind of cool. They feel kind of casual. I'd stay in the Big 12, or I'd go to the Pac-12, or I'd go independent. But be very careful what you wish for. Texas A&M is different. They'd sell their soul to win football games. I have never once thought that about the Longhorns. Texas Tech, Texas A&M, that's different. I don't like it. It would also, and I love college football, it would be wonderful just once if college football, an $8 billion a year sport, just once felt like it had leadership instead of schools and athletic directors and commissioners pretty much controlling everything. It's a money grab. I get it. There's a lot out there. It'd be nice to have some, you know, CEO. You'd think if you're an $8 billion business, the sport would have, you know, a centralized figure, you know, their version of a, you know, a Roger Goodell or an Adam Silver, hell, a Dana White, somebody, a maverick, a leader, and it doesn't. So here we are today with a great football brand, and I'm not surprised they have suitors. I mean, it's Texas. It's a big state. It's a great brand. It's slick. With, by the way, they have a great athletic director. Chris Del Conte is probably the smartest athletic director in the country. That's largely understood within athletic director circles. It's a great university. Be very careful. You are not the South. You are not the SEC. There is a refined polish and progressiveness to Texas. I think you're right where you should be. All right. I'm sure that'll go over well. I'm sure those SEC fans love hearing from me.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
My dad, I remember when I was a kid sitting on the couch, and it's weird the things you remember. And my dad wasn't a big talker. My mom was wittier and funnier. My dad was really very much into business, very reluctant guy, reticent for emotion. But he said two things I remember as a kid. Number one, once I was shooting hook shots out in the yard and in my little basketball hoop and just taking crazy shots. And my dad walked by and he said, Tiger, he called me Tiger. He said, Tiger, why would you ever take a shot in practice that you don't take in a game? And he just walked over, grabbed firewood, walked up the hill. I think about that every week. Wasting time. Why are you wasting time? That's all he said. Tiger, why would you ever take a shot out here you wouldn't take in a game? He didn't even elaborate. He just got firewood and walked up. And another thing he said to me, I was on the couch, and I remember John Chancellor was the anchor for NBC. My dad liked NBC at the time, like news. And it was such a glib line. It was like he had practiced it or something. And we were watching. It was the economy was bad in the country. It was the mid-70s. And there was a recession. You know, it was a bad economy. And it was a story about that. And he said, Tiger, he said, recessions are garage sales for the prepared. Always be ready. When the economy goes in the tank, are you nimble? Do you have cash? Or are you up to your teeth in debt? Be nimble, be flexible, be ready to go. Recessions happen about every 7-8 years generally, and they're quick, and we get over them. We bounce out of them. Be nimble, be flexible, be ready for when the fit hits the shan in America. And Big Ben picture came out. He's lost a bunch of weight. And to me, I never worry about Ben's weight. The Steelers haven't been ready when the fit hit the shan in the AFC North. Cleveland and Cincinnati now have their act together. They both have their quarterbacks. Cleveland's got an excellent coach, and I think Cincinnati's pretty good. Cleveland's got an excellent GM. The Browns roster's loaded. So Cleveland and Cincinnati were a clown show for the last 15 years. Let's just talk the last decade. What does that mean? That Pittsburgh should have owned this division. Now, you won't win it every year because Baltimore's well-run. Pittsburgh last decade, 0 number one seeds. Virtually guaranteed to go 4-0 against the Bengals, Browns. 0 number one seeds. 1 bye. New England, when the Dolphins went sideways, when the Bills went sideways, when the Jets were the Jets, New England won their division. 8 byes. Green Bay. Minnesota goes sideways. Bears can't find a quarterback. Lions are the Lions. Green Bay, in the last decade, 7 division titles, 4 playoff byes. LeBron James, when everybody was unraveling in the East, all the good teams in the West, LeBron James, in the East, 8 straight finals appearances. Didn't win them all, but he took advantage of the dysfunction in the East. Packers have taken advantage of the dysfunction. Patriots took advantage. Now, New England, there's not a lot of Miami and Buffalo have the right coaches, have good rosters. It doesn't last forever. Browns and the Bengals are real football teams. Especially the Browns. That's a real football team. You blew it. Recessions are garage sales for the prepared. That division had a 10-year recession. And the Steelers didn't take advantage of it. That is on them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In fact, I read a study the other day where dogs, because they've been so domesticated for the last 100 years in America, that they really do get our nonverbal cues, that dogs read us. They constantly...
Yeah, they're very intuitive.
And they've said even other smart animals, mammals, they don't read us like dogs do because they've been part of our lives in America for hundreds of years. And so dogs watch our verbal cues. They listen to our voice. Are we mad? You watch a dog and they're just reading us the whole time. And I'm very grateful for that. Anyway, and I thought Ryan Russillo brought up a great point last hour about Aaron Rodgers. Is that I hear a lot about what he doesn't have in Green Bay. But can we just talk for a minute about what he does have? Like if I was a quarterback in the NFL, and I think you will agree with me here, the first thing I'd want is you got to give me a weapon. Davante Adams is beyond special. Second thing is I got to have protection. I'm not going to throw running for my life. Green Bay this year will once again have a better than average offensive line. In fact, since he's been starting quarterback, they've had 5 different offensive linemen make the Pro Bowl multiple times. I don't think this is one of their best, but it's still a top 10-ish offensive line. I would want some semblance of a running game. Oh, they've got Aaron Jones. I think the most underrated back in the league and a top 3 back. I'd want a progressive coach. You know, somebody that's not living in the past. Matt LaFleur's pretty good. He's in that McVay, Kyle Shanahan, LaFleur, they're all boys. I'd want a decent defense. I don't want to have to win shootouts. Right now they have the ninth best defense in the NFL. They could use an edge rusher. Yeah, so could everybody. You know, not name the Chicago Bears. Everybody needs an edge rusher. I'm not even going to mention the home field advantage. I'm not going to mention they've had almost no institutional chaos. I'm not going to mention their tight end, who they drafted in later rounds at 11 touchdowns. I'm not going to mention the easy division. Aaron's got a lot. Now, does he have the situation as good as Patrick Mahomes? No. The two athletes in my life who literally left college and hit the lottery. Magic Johnson goes to the Lakers and Kareem. Okay, that's pretty good. And Mahomes gets Andy Reid, all these weapons, and it's a really functional organization that made the playoffs before he was there, and he gets Alex Smith to teach him for a year. So, yeah, you don't have a Mahomes situation. You don't. All right, it's one. Seattle, they've had coordinator and offensive line issues and a defensive coach who wants to run the ball only. Buffalo, they just finally got their act together. They have their offensive line is okay. They have no run game. Baltimore, you know, it's great. They don't have a legitimate receiver. They don't have anything resembling Devontae Adams. And that division's tough. That's a tough division. You get Detroit twice a year. Chicago's going to start a rookie quarterback two times this year. So, yeah, you don't have what Tom Brady has now, but you had better weapons than Tom did for much of your career. I mean, Tom now has leverage. At your age, he didn't have any leverage. He was trapped. He couldn't get out. People forget Tom won a bunch of Super Bowls early and late. He went 10 years in the middle. He didn't. And by the way, the entire time he didn't, they were drafting quarterbacks. One in the third round, one in the fourth. Then they drafted Garoppolo in the second. And Tom was still the best quarterback, arguably, in the league. Hey, Ryan Russillo, I thought last hour, summed it up very nicely.
This entire Aaron Rodgers saga has been rather vague. Like, I like Aaron Rodgers. I clearly like him more than you. But this Packers team is a Super Bowl contender. It's not like he's been with a team here for a decade plus that's never had any chance. And it's like, you know what? I get it. Rodgers is really special, and now he wants to move on. But this entire saga, Colin, I feel like, you know, I need to, like, you're playing the victim. Convince me you're the victim, okay? Convince me you're the victim. Because just drafting Jordan Love and not getting a heads up is not enough.
Brady was not given a heads up on Garoppolo. Or any of the quarterbacks. They drafted a quarterback in the third round in the middle of his Super Bowl drought. Couldn't play a lick. I didn't give him a heads up. I understand. I would have. I think it's the right thing to do. I just had dinner with the GM a couple nights ago, and he said, with an older quarterback, we told him every year, we like this kid if he's available in the second. And he said the quarterback didn't like it. I mean, by the way, the Colts a couple times had to tell Peyton Manning, we're going to draft a quarterback. Peyton doesn't like it. Reportedly, Phillip Rivers didn't like it when the Chargers told him. So they don't have to like it. I do think the Packers owed Aaron a heads up. But there's a lot more that Aaron has than what he doesn't have. Take Mahomes out is pretty good. Green Bay's had no institutional chaos. This morning I went and counted teams that I consider to be either poorly owned or poorly run, like the Texans, the Jets. I got to like seven. That's a quarter of the league has got either bad ownership or a clown show in the front office. Green Bay never does. It's always institutionally highly functional, above average O-lines. He's always had a star receiver. Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams. They've always had a productive tight end. Now, defense, he's never had a great defense. But this one's nine. And when he won the Super Bowl, they were top 10. It's not like they've been bottom. It's not like they were Dallas. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's not horrible. They do need a rush end, and I do believe they should have found a way to get J.J. Watt. I thought he was a great fit for them. But, you know, Aaron's making $37 million a year. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, they're not taking pay cuts. Makes it a lot harder to get J.J. Watt.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
buddy Ryan Russillo, host of the Ryan Russillo podcast, which is great, one of the few I listen to, is now joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Yeah, I mean, I don't turn down a free meal very often, buddy, so we got to make it up. So I can be a prisoner to the moment. I can be a prisoner to confirmation bias. Hey, listen, I'd be the first to admit it. I like sports. I get excited. And yesterday I'm like, it does feel like Giannis is driving the car and everybody else kind of in the back seat. And then I think to myself, a little hyperbolic. You know, KD did look like a better player against Giannis in a series about a month ago. But let's add some perspective. And you're really good at this stuff, Ryan. Let's just start with this. If you include everything, Ryan, is he the best player, Giannis, in the league right now? The best overall player?
No, I actually don't think he is. And it feels like I'm doing something wrong or it's against the rules.
Right.
Because what he did in game six, I mean, I don't want to knock anything that guy did. He was incredible. And I think the best thing about Giannis, too, is that he's this incredible star. Maybe he is the best player in the league. And he also cares the most. You know, his effort on both ends of the floor every single time. I mean, even the best players find some possessions to coast. And at 26 years old, even though he was coming off kind of this weird knee injury, it looked like every possession he was engaged, he was fighting, and he carried them offensively at other times. So, but, you know, I always have this rule that in the moment, we're probably the worst to listen to. Like, we need, like, a week to cool off.
Right.
Like, one of my favorite ever was that Joe Flacco was the best quarterback in the NFL the Monday after the Super Bowl. Like, Merrill Hodge was on SportsCenter, and he was like, here are my top five quarterbacks for next year. And it was like, wait, where? Like, he has Flacco one? Like, awesome playoff run. Now, look, Giannis is 100 times better than, I think, you know, to his contemporaries than Flacco was back then. So, I'm, you know, look, I've kind of turned this into something else. My point is this, is that when we were watching Durant and the Nets – with nobody else go up against the Bucks,
yeah,
it kind of felt like, you know what, as great as Giannis is, and he is great, it felt like there was another level of getting into your offense and shot making that Durant has and
yeah.
possesses. So I don't think it's wrong. Like, it feels like it's against the rules, but I'm not going to feel guilty for saying, you know, I probably still want Durant in a game.
Yeah, no, that's why you're a good guest today, because I do think I can be a prisoner of the moment, because, listen, it's such a great story. He's such a great kid, and to your point, I said yesterday, he plays like an 8-year-old playing his first game, and you want to, hey, slow down. There's 2 hours to go, okay? So don't play so hard. Here's the other thing, though, and I'm not going to talk dynasty because they never last as long, but there does feel like a little bit of a San Antonio feel. A grateful, humble, legendary big. I mean, Manu was a second-round pick, so was Middleton. Tony Parker late first, so was Drew Holiday. Nice pieces, undervalued, with this selfless, coachable, both end of the floor, dominating, humble big. And it wasn't good for the NBA rating, San Antonio, but when Kobe and Shaq divorced, it opened the door for it. Well, LeBron, Kawhi leave the East. Ryan, outside of Brooklyn, that East is really Milwaukee's, is it not, for the next half decade?
Yeah, but that Brooklyn is a huge if, because I feel like, you know, as much as I was wondering how it was all going to play out, honestly, Colin, if two of the guys were healthy, I think the Nets are NBA champs. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how close that Bucks-Nets series was, with a diminished Harden, who Milwaukee didn't even want to attack, and then no Kyrie. So all three of those guys. Now, the if question for Brooklyn's health, like, no one can just go, oh, they'll be fine, they'll be healthy next year, because those guys, I mean, Kyrie hasn't had a normal finish to a season here in years. But
yeah.
There's a couple things you said there. One, and I think this is the best point to argue Milwaukee maybe having this kind of run, is that Giannis is Duncan in the sense that there's absolute buy-in, okay?
Yeah.
There hasn't been, you know how, like, people work in the media industry and, like, you're younger and you're like, I'm going to work so hard and I'm going to call everybody and I'm going to say yes to everything. And then you're like seasoned and you're out for 10 years. You're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. You know, like, I think that NBA players, much like anybody else in any other industry, you're around long enough, you end up getting a little bitter about things. And, like, there's none of that with Giannis. But here's my rule about dynasties, or even using the D word. Can we get to the second championship before we start throwing this? Can we just get to a second one before we even suggest that we have a dynasty in the making for any of these teams?
All right, I want to go to a football question now, because you're good at this stuff. And we had a discussion yesterday. I didn't want to use it anywhere because it's sort of yours, and I don't like to, you know, hijack.
I thought it was going to be your open for today, because you were like, "That's good."
Because he had so I called him yesterday, and he had a very good point. And I thought it transcends Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. But it made me think a lot. And we talked about Green Bay, and I want you to elaborate on this point. And the point being is, when people are unhappy, they don't give specifics. I'm unhappy with my company. And from there, I want you to take it away on Aaron in Green Bay.
If you had a best friend, right, a guy you grew up with and the families are friends, you know, he's married, you're married, everybody gets along, and he said to you, hey, I think I'm going to leave my wife. You'd be like, whoa, okay. Well, do you have any specifics? Nah, you know, I'm just not feeling it. And you'd be like, okay, but, you know, if you're going to blow up your family here, like, I need to be convinced a little bit. Like, I'm supporting you. I get it. You know, things change. I just need specifics. And this entire Aaron Rodgers saga has been rather vague. Like, I like Aaron Rodgers. I clearly like him more than you. But this Packers team is a Super Bowl contender. It's not like he's been with a team here for a decade plus that's never had any chance. And it's like, you know what? I get it. Rodgers is really special, and now he wants to move on. But this entire saga, Colin, I feel like, you know, I need to, like, you're playing the victim. Convince me you're the victim, okay? Convince me you're the victim. Because just drafting Jordan Love and not getting a heads up is not enough for him to do this to the franchise that supported him, to do this to his teammates that I think for the most part really like him. So, okay, cool, you want out, and you do all these vague things. Like, I need something more specific. He can clearly leak it to anybody in the media that he wants to, but this entire timeline, Colin, I'm just not all that convinced he's as aggrieved as he portrays to be.
And finally, listen, I'm viewed as a Cowboy hate. You know, funny in our business, you're viewed as a hate. Like, for years, I was a Westbrook hater, and I always said, yeah, but I'm accurate. Like, I'm a hater if I was ripping Mahomes. Okay, then I'm a hater. But if you're accurate, you're not a hater. And so with Dallas, I pick
it up. You're a truther.
That's boom. Thank you.
Right.
A different kind. A sports truther. So, but with Dallas, I always look at the schedule, and I'm go, there'll be a game above 500. And this year, I'm like, 9-8 feels right. So just, I want on the record, Ryan, I got Dallas at 9-8. And I have them battling for a wild card at the end, and probably, because I trust Dak more than Daniel Jones, getting into the playoffs. That is my space today. That's where I'm landing on. Where are you on Dallas?
Well, I'll admit I'm a little caught up more in the NBA draft. But I think there's a Dallas point here to be made. And that is, all of us that have done this at the national level for a long time, if we're not from there, we probably all sound like haters because we're so sick of talking about him. Do you remember the summer of Ezekiel Elliott's contract? That was like 3 weeks. So I think there's a little human nature that kicks in with all of us where you're just like, you know what? You know, we'll throw 500 on it. I mean, now instead of 8-8, we'll say 9-8 because of it. You know, hey, maybe they're 10-7. Like, who cares? And so, you know, it's the Cowboys part of it. Like, anytime you could talk Cowboys, but it's so excessive, and all of us have had to talk about them way more than we wanted to when they've really done nothing to garner this much attention. So I think that's probably where it comes in from. But as far as Dallas in that division, trying to figure that division out year to year, it's almost impossible. So I could see him winning it. I could see him being disappointing again. A lot of it's just going to depend on how much Dak can carry them and then a defense that kind of fluctuates every single year. So I think you're probably closer to right, but that division's been so hard to figure out that I give up.
Yeah, Philadelphia will be bad, it feels like. Everybody else depends on the injuries, attrition. Ryan Russillo, the Ryan Russillo podcast. Great seeing you, my man. The house looks great. Everything's good for you. You look fantastic, bud.
I feel great. I was in a rut, and I came on the show today, and, you know, sky's the limit the rest of the day.
All right, Ryan Russillo, good stuff.